Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living the Vita lockdown. And now we're not in lockdown and we don't even have to wear masks anymore. So,
I come home and I had to go to Kmart and I said to my daughter, okay, if we wait a little bit longer and arrive at 6 o'clock, we don't have to wear masks. And she's like, ooh. So we did. And we got there and then we walked in and we're like, and we just went to Kmart and we bought a BIPOC.
Nice.
Did you feel naughty?
I know. I felt so good. I felt so free. I could just breathe without that bit of freaking fabric going, like,
oh, God, it's so annoying.
Oh, so annoying. Or up my nose. Just stop it. Stop. So, yes. Oh, my God. So excited. Oh, we did it.
Yeah. We've done it, people.
We did it. Now we just need to get vaccinated and we're great. This is fine.
But we also need to get back on topic. So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine and go on many, many tangents and try to make sense of it and then forget what our topic is. So, ladies, what are we drinking tonight?
I'm cold. So I'm drinking red wine. I'm drinking my new favourite Merlot, which is Wiley Rooster Merlot, which I've been drinking for a bit now, and yeah, I love it.
Awesome. Well, I'm drinking. I actually went to Liquorland, which I haven't been to in, I don't know, years, and I picked up, which I had not seen at both BWS and Dan Murphy, because I know everything on those shelves now. That's not sad at all. So that's
perfectly normal.
Yeah. Fingers crossed after, you know, the pandemic. Now it's completely normal. So it's called Zilzy, and it is a Pinot Grigio, and it is from, what's the name of it? Caradoc in Victoria.
Where the hell is that?
I know. I just went, whoa, that fits into a very well of this tonight's topic, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I forgot about our topic, even though I'd been researching all day about it. And I was going to drink beer, but I've only got imported beer, and I've only got Summersby cider, which I think is also imported. I don't fucking know. But that's what I'm drinking.
Way to keep it local.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm drinking from. It's very Australian.
As long as it's not the toilet.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the toilet, we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm drinking Summersby blackberry cider. And it's delicious, of course.
Nice.
So, Amy, what is our topic for tonight?
I have been looking forward to this topic for so long. Our topic tonight is Australia AF, or otherwise known as Aussie as fuck.
Yeah.
This topic is dedicated to our homeland. We thought it would be a good opportunity to tell our listeners about Australia and what it means to be Aussie as fuck.
Yeah.
Now, I could bore you with the history of Australia, the people, and how it became colonised, but let's face it, no one wants to hear that. You listen to this podcast for comedy, not a history lesson, although that is often what you walk away with. So, anyway, I'm skipping the history lesson this week because I don't want to get into it. I just want to talk about...
Good.
Yes, I just want to talk about what we mean when I say Aussie as fuck. Well... Aussie is simply short for Australian. If you've ever been to Australia or if you've encountered Aussies when they're overseas, if you can't see them, you'll hear them from a mile away. Our accent.
Okay.
Fucking A.
Oh, God, we sound horrible.
Look, I don't think we're the worst sounding people out there. I've been like overseas a bit, and you can hear us. Trust me, you can hear us.
Oh yeah, you can hear us.
So easily. It's just a bunch of noses coming towards you.
Yeah. And our accent is one of the most distinguishable accents in the world. The only ones that really sound like us are New Zealanders, which is Bianca's native land where she was born. But for the most part, we're pretty distinguishable. Aussies tend to be fairly friendly, and we're usually willing to give anything a crack. And we're often, give us a crack. Anyway, we are often found in pubs, on the beach, at footy, AFL or rugby, whichever you like, or on walkabout. Not the winery festival, but an adventure of sorts into the nature. This was a term that came from an Aboriginal rite of passage, and it's called walkabout. Yeah, so Aussies often are on walkabout.
Yep.
We have some of the craziest creatures that are native to Australia, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to round 8 where I talk about the platypus. Look, I'm a proud Aussie, and while I'm not necessarily proud of everything in our history, I mean, who is? Look back at your own histories, and are you proud of
everything?
No, you're not proud, but you're proud of who you are, and that's what I'm saying, is that I'm not proud of everything in our history, but I am proud to be an Australian or an Aussie. So Aussies are well known for some of the strangest and often most hilarious pastimes, lingo, and random events in history. We three are going to cover some of this in hope of enlightening our listeners as what it means to be Aussie as fuck. So I'm going to keep going on, and I'm going to crack into my topic. So tonight I'm going to have a chat about some Aussie terminology, or lingo, if you will. Australians are quite creative when it comes to bastardizing the English language, and we've come up with some really interesting terms over the years. I'm just going to list some of my favorites and what they mean. So here I go. So g'day means good day. Barbie means barbecue. Mm-hmm. Chunder means vomit. Yeah. Dunny means toilet. Fair dinkum means it's real or true.
Yeah.
Dowry means cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Bottle-o means bottle shop or liquor store.
Yeah.
Dax means pants. Yakka means work. Sheila means woman. Tucker means food. Cobber means friend. Bonza means good. P.S. I don't think we use bonza enough in everyday language anymore.
No. Yeah,
I think it's a good word. It's a great word. We should say bonza more often.
Anyway. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It, bonza is a bonza word. All right, so the last couple of ones. Rellos, which means your relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Bum nut, which is a chicken egg. Now, this was my dad's favorite Aussie slang, along with holy snap and duck shit.
I can see that.
And my dad was not the most ochre or bogan of people. In fact, he's quite the opposite. But he often used to refer to a chicken egg as a bum nut, and when I would show him something that shocked him, he'd go, holy stop and duck shit. Okay, so bogan, which is our word for country folk, rednecks, or someone who's very Aussie but a bit backwards. Whoop whoop, which means, well, fucking fuck knows where. And then finally, three words that mean asshole: date, freckle, and clucker.
Yeah. Some, I did you say servo? Because that one's one of my favorites.
Servo. Servo.
A service station is just great, people. Like, just start using the word servo. Just servo. Save yourself time, because you go to the service station a lot. You know, just go on the servo. Save yourself seconds.
So your, servo is, I think in England they call it a garage.
Yeah.
And in America, I actually don't know. It's a petrol station. Gas station. That's it.
Gas station, yeah.
All right. So cracking on. As for our accents, well, a lot of people think all Aussies sound the same, but I am here to tell you that that's not true. There are various degrees of the Aussie accent, and I will demonstrate by saying three very Australian phrases in three of the most identifiable degrees of the Aussie accent. Okay, here we go. Bear with me. We're not here to fuck spiders.
Oh, my God. Board. I love that saying.
No, not here to fuck spiders. Obviously, no one fucks spiders because it's impossible. That's the point. Is we're not here to dick around people. We're not here to fuck spiders. That's the point. that's a broad Australian accent. So, like, think Steve Irwin. cunning as a dunny rat. This is a general accent. So this is sort of like my accent. So this is what most of the country tend to use. So think like Hugh Jackman. You think, oh, where's that accent? And then someone says something like, cunning as a dunny rat, and then continues to speak. And you're like, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. And then finally, the last one. Let me get into character. You shit me to tears. This is a cultivated accent, which is slightly British sounding. So think like Kate Blanchett.
Yes, queen.
I say that saying every day. I will say that.
Shit me to tears.
At some point during my day, I will tell someone, you shit me to tears.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Very much. Yes.
Guess what is not an Aussie term?
Oh.
Mate.
Mate?
Mate is not an Aussie term. It's actually derived from a German term and has been used widely by English people for hundreds of years. The English said mate before we did.
Yeah, but they didn't say, like, mate. Yeah.
Mate. No,
and they don't have, like, five different ways of using it.
Yeah,
mate,
I know.
Mate, it's mate.
Oh, mate. And that's, you know, it's bad news. Mate.
Yeah.
Or if you're speaking to someone, hey, mate. Or mate.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, yes, we are a bit weird and we have done some things to the English language that can never be undone or unsaid. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Our fucked up bastardization of the English language is something that Australians or Aussies are proud of, and it's something that makes us distinctly Aussie. Like I said before, if you visit us or encounter us when we're overseas, you'll hear us coming probably before you see us. And we will probably be saying something along the lines of, g'day, mate. Do you know where I can find a dunny? Miss Sheila's racked off to have a durry and find some tucker and took the map with her. Been wandering around Whoop Whoop for ages. And if I don't find a dunny, I'm fair dinkum going to shit me dax. So the translation to that is, hello, do you know where there's a toilet? My girlfriend / wife has gone off to have a cigarette and find something to eat and has taken our map with her. I've been wandering around for a long time, but it appears I'm lost. If I don't find a toilet, I genuinely fear I may soil myself.
This is so funny because you have an Australian accent, so both of them are technically an Australian accent.
Yes. But it was a translation.
Yes,
so
that was a translation.
Yeah.
I know, but it's
so
just tickled me.
So the rest of the world could understand.
Yes. So I think, Sarah, you're up next. Take it away.
I am. So my topic for this episode is something that I actually recently only found out about. This is the type of history they should teach us at school, not the boring how we became predominantly white.
Oh, yes, yes, this is our fan pick.
Yes. Now, Bianca, tell me again who picked this.
It is a Toxic Chick. So she is on Twitch, but she's more of a, like, she likes to lurk. She, like, her and I met each other in my sister's Twitch chat room. And, yeah, she's... We started chatting and she now listens to the podcast. So, hey, Toxic Chick. And she picked this topic. So go ahead, Sarah.
Nice. Okay. The Great Emu War. Seriously, when I first heard this, I went, what the fuck? Like, seriously.
How
what
have
the
I
fuck?
Never heard of this
How
before?
How have we never heard of this before? This should be taught in school. Mm-hmm.
I had to explain to my coworker what this was. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Literally have no idea what this is. I still don't know. In fact, I've deliberately not looked into it because I want to hear Sarah's take on it.
Oh, yeah.
I work with gentlemen who are a fair few years older than myself, and none of them have ever heard about this. So I'm just, wow. Okay. So let's start off with, for those who don't know what an emu is, for overseas listeners, it's a large flightless bird that can grow up to 6.2 feet in height.
Yeah. AKA bastard bird from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making it the second largest bird in the world and can run up to 50 kilometers an hour or 31 miles per hour.
Outrunning it. Just lay on the ground and play dead. That's the best you got. Dead.
You're going to die. Just face it. And a fun fact, they actually reach full size in about 6 months of age.
Yeah.
So don't keep them as pets.
Yeah. Yeah, don't Stop do that. It. They're also our national animal.
Yeah.
They're on our coat of arms along with kangaroo.
Yeah.
We also like to eat both those animals. Ah, Australia.
Fucking Australians.
Yeah. So.
Fucking Australians, yes.
Fucking Australians.
Back to the emu war.
Yes.
After World War I, a number of returned vets were given land to farm from the Australian government in Western Australia, in the Campion region. But given the times, it was a tough job. The farmers were encouraged to increase their wheat crops because of the onset of the Great Depression in 1929, with the promise of government subsidies that were never delivered. No surprise there, it's the Australian government. So, with wheat prices falling, no help in sight, shit was getting tense.
Mm.
I mean, Western Australia, I mean, fuck me. Yeah, so by October 1932, farmers were threatening to refuse delivery for their wheat, but wait. Then on top of that, the farmers were faced with the arrival of as many as 20,000 emus heading south to the coast after their breeding season. Now, notice how I said emus, not emu.
Yeah, emu.
Yeah. Just wanted to point that out for a lot of people.
This sounds like my worst fucking nightmare. What's that sound? Just look outside. There's 20,000 emus storming out of my house. Emus.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're all heading to the coast after their breeding season. It's just their annual migration. So now with the extra crops and the waters from the farms, the emus thought this is a great place to forage for food.
Well, this looks good.
Yeah.
It's quite literally in front.
So in particular, it was in the Chandela region and the Walgulan. Fuck these names, people. Even Australians.
Pulling up, and I'm looking at your names. Do you want help?
God. Well,
where the fuck is it? I don't even know where you are.
Ah, well, it's like in my first paragraph.
Oh, Jesus.
So.
Yeah, so Chandler and Walgulan.
Walgulan. Anyway, areas. So the emus. Again, what's with this? The emus broke fences and consumed and spoiled a lot of the crops. And because the fences were then broken, it gave way to rabbits to come in and finish with the destruction. So at this point, I will just say rabbit-proof fences were a thing. Emu-proof fences were not.
Yeah.
So not happy with the emus, the farmers decide to seek help and put in a complaint. But not with the local or state government. No. They went to the military for help.
That's so Australian.
I have a problem with them.
I think we need tanks.
Yeah. I've got a bad problem.
Shitload of emus out there. Can you just bring some guns? Yeah. I think that'll fix it. Yeah.
So a small group of soldiers turned farmers went to meet with the Minister of Defence, Sir George Pearce, who listened to the farmers' ideas on how to fix this bird problem and agreed that, yes, machine guns were a great idea, but only on a few conditions. The guns were to be used by military personnel only. Troops transportation would be funded by the Western Australian government, and the farmers were to feed and house the troops and pay for the ammunition.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
But and they couldn't afford anything. Yeah, that's what started the whole problem.
Look, these were the conditions. And it was to be, also be filmed. They had a fucking film crew there. They all agreed to
this. These were leading cinema. They were Australia's leader in cinema. They filmed fucking everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just getting a machine gun down some fucking emus. Why would you want to film that?
No.
Because this is war, Amy. It's war. War needs to be documented. So anyway, it was agreed to. It was set. So it was to begin in October. Under the command of Major G.P.W. Meredith of the 7th Heavy Battery of the Royal Australian Artillery. He then armed soldiers Sergeant S. McMurray and Gunner J. O. Holleran. Holleran? Yeah.
Halloran.
Halloran? Holleran. I don't care. I will butcher your names just for fun. I will say it 20 different ways just for me. So, yeah, he armed those two with Lewis guns. So if you don't know what a Lewis gun is, it is a lightweight machine gun that is handheld.
Okay.
Yeah, so lightweight machine gun.
And like an AK-47.
A little different, but yeah. Just in the design, it is different. But they were also given 10,000 rounds of ammunition. The operation was delayed due to heavy rain, though. So with the heavy rain, all the birds scattered.
Okay.
So it was then moved to the 2nd of November. So the troops were deployed with orders to assist farmers and supposedly collect 100 emus so that their feathers could be used to make hats for the light horsemen.
Right.
Okay.
I'm feeling this was the main point of the whole war. Shit, we run out of feathers for hats. Somebody go kill some birds.
What are we gonna do? World War II? We need those feathers.
We need some.
Hey Sarge, we've got a farmer on the phone, says he's got an emu problem. Oh, it's an answer to my prayers.
Brilliant. We'll just claim these birds are a pest. Yes, that's how we'll do it. So anyway, on the 2nd of November, the men travelled to Campion and there were some 50 emus sighted there. As the birds were out of range of the guns, the local settlers attempted to herd the emus into an ambush.
Ah, good luck.
But the birds split into small groups and ran, so they were difficult to target.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Not stupid. This is what makes them dangerous.
Yeah. They're nevertheless.
They're not giant chickens. They're not giant chickens.
No.
They're so smart.
While the first volley of the machine guns were ineffective due to the range, the second round of gunfire was able to kill a number of birds. Now, when they say a number, they really don't know.
It was a number. Come on. It was a number. Just pick
one. Could have been three. Yeah, it was a number, apparently. So later the same day, a small flock was encountered and around a dozen of those emus were killed. Then on the 4th of November, Meredith had established an ambush. Because, fuck, ambush fucking birds. In a local dam, more than 1,000 emus were spotted. So the gunners waited until the birds came closer. Before they opened fire. But the gun got jammed after only 20 birds were killed. And the remainder scattered and got away. They didn't find any more birds that day.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
They just weren't having any luck.
What is this, amateur hour?
These guys have fucking machine guns and they're not having any luck.
Why would anybody want our help in any war ever?
I'm literally seeing, like, you know, like the military guys in, is it Blackadder, the later ones?
Yeah.
I'm just bumbling around. Like, oh, look, sir, there's a grenade.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. Now, around this point, the emus, they kind of cottoned on to what was happening. And
I think they're trying to kill us now.
No. No, mate, you fucking got it all wrong. It's seeds, right? We've just got to get close enough without getting hit by them. We just pick them up. It'll be fine. It'll be fine, yeah.
They're trying to feed us, mate. Yeah. Those things that come out, those big things, they're seeds. You just got to eat them. It's fine.
It's fine.
And then that one big-ass bird with black feathers named Bazza, he's looked at it and he's going, no, mate, you guys just eat your food. These cunts can't be trusted.
Yeah.
That's what was happening. And
I mean, they want to take our feathers and stick them in their hats.
Yeah.
Are you right, Bazza? Yep, I'm pretty sure this is what's happening.
Bazza knew what was happening. So, the groups actually had, like, lookouts. These birds were caught. No, they're not dumb. Emus are not dumb. And that scares me.
They are.
And the fact that they run faster than me and are taller than me and can eat me.
Yeah.
They terrify me. Anyway, so I lost where I was. Oh, yeah. So at one point during this whole thing, Meredith was so sick and tired that he actually mounted a gun to a truck and thought this was going to work. Unfortunately, the roads were so bumpy, they couldn't fire a gun. There was no chance. And I did read, I haven't written it down, but I did read that they actually ran into an emu and the truck then flipped when an emu ran in and got its head stuck in the steering wheel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And I just went, holy shit.
Not to say another Australian saying, but why not? You're fucking shitting me.
I'm not fucking shitting you. Fucking emu's got head stuck in the steering wheel and fucking couldn't do anything.
Flipped a fucking truck.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, these things are not cool. Stay away from them. They're birds from hell.
Demon hell birds. I was right.
Yeah. Jesus. So, by the 8th of November, 6 days after the first engagement, 2,500 rounds of ammunition had been fired. A number of birds, uncertain on the count, were shot. They said around 50, but then later things said between 200 and 500. But, yeah.
I call Meredith's, bullshit.
Yeah, I call bullshit too. Meredith's report noted that his men suffered no casualties.
Oh, good show, old chaps.
Yes. Good show, old chaps. You've all come back alive and with feathers. Congratulations. Here's a promotion.
We have the feathers. The feathers we set up for, we have them. I don't know why he's got a British accent.
I don't know either.
Well, clearly an Australian person couldn't be trusted to fucking lead anything. And
well, on the 8th of November also, it was on the 8th of November, the military was starting to get, you know, a little bit of bad press about all of this. Yeah, funnily enough. And they were beginning to think it was not so effective. Seemed to be working.
Pull the other one. It's got bells on it.
Yeah. Wow. So the operation was then cancelled. Meredith was withdrawn. And he actually commented on the striking maneuverability of the emus even whilst wounded. And this is a quote from him. If we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capabilities of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They can face machine guns with invulnerability of tanks. They're like Zulus, whom even dum-dum bullets could not stop.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
So mate, you went out in the bush, to hunt big birds and you failed big time. Don't try and weaponize them. That's not the answer. You got outsmarted by a fucking pack of birds. Don't try and dress it up.
Yeah.
Don't dress it up.
So after the withdrawal of the military, the emu attacks on crops continued. These damn emus, they were just
relentless. Well, they won the war. They're right now.
Yeah. Well, farmers again asked for support. Apparently, yes, the hot weather and the drought had brought the emu invading, like, back to invading the farms. So James Mitchell, the Premier of Western Australia, lent his strong support to the renewal of the military assistance. So the thing is, they agreed, yes, we'll do this again. So I don't know why, but it wasn't long after. So it was actually the 13th of November, and Meredith was back again because, you know, they had no one better. Oh, we'll just bring you back. Yes, you've done this before. Yes.
In my mind, he's like the Australian Schultz out of Home and Heroes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I'm picturing it.
So on the first 2 days, approximately 40 emus were killed. The third day, far less, like barely any. And then by the 2nd of December, the soldiers were killing approximately 100 emus per week. So,
right.
Yeah. So he claimed, let's see. Oh, yeah, he was recalled on the 10th of December, and his report claimed 986 kills with 9,860 rounds, which is a rate of exactly 10 rounds per confirmed kill.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I need to understand this. Well, that's a 10% average, which is ridiculous. Even I can shoot better than that. Okay, so hang on a minute. So 9,860 rounds or bullets?
Rounds.
Because a round would have, I don't know how many rounds are in the weapons that they're using. But
I'm assuming when they say rounds, they mean bullets.
Yeah.
Do they know?
It's 10 bullets.
Because I only had 10,000 bullets. Sarah said that at the start.
Okay.
So but it has to be
the second
campaign. So they're rounds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'm not
that's
sure.
What. Anyway, that's what they're saying. It's 10 rounds per confirmed kill. So he also claimed that 2,500 wounded birds had died as a result of their injuries that they had sustained. Well, yeah,
or throwing themselves at the vehicles that are shooting at them. Yeah. You never know.
Okay, I Googled it. Sorry, because, oh God, we'd lose this. So one round is one bullet. Okay.
Okay.
I hope everybody else just learned something too, and it wasn't just us.
It's yeah.
Still bad.
It's
still bad.
Watch. We suck at knowing what a round is.
Yeah. Okay.
It still is bad because it's like a 10%, is it 10% hit rate? That's stupid.
Anyway.
So, again, still many, many emus. So despite the problems encountered with the cull, the farmers of the region once again requested military assistance in 1934, 1943, and 1948, only to be turned down by the government. They're like, no, mate, we've tried this a couple of times.
All their men were like fucking made to go over and fight a war. The poor women who were left behind during World War II had to fight the fucking emus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bullshit. Oh, yeah. I'm so mad for you, sisters.
Okay. Let me go shoot the Nazis. I'm not shooting an emu.
Those emus are relentless. It's easy to shoot a Nazi.
I made friends last time. They are my new rulers. I voted for Kang. Yeah.
My question is, why didn't they recruit?
You would vote for Vazza.
Why didn't they recruit the emus? Get the emus on board, people. Send them over to fight the wars. Apparently, they're like tanks.
Yeah,
accompanied with the mind of a Zulu warrior. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, instead of the government helping, the bounty system had been that had been investigated back in 1923 was then continued, and this proved to actually be effective. So 57,034 bounties were claimed over 6 months in 1934. So a bunch of farmers with guns went, okay, you're going to give me money if I catch a bird. Done.
But 57,000 sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Like there was 20,000 that descended
that was
the
at that
farm.
Stage. That was at
what
the beginning.
Fuck.
Wow. So, again, so the population, because there's still a massive emu population, emus. I'm pretty sure they're not endangered.
I did, and they did actually kill quite a fair few, and they were on the brink of going on the list. And a lot of activists from overseas stepped in to say, "Okay, you need to stop.
Yeah,
these birds are not found anywhere else in the world. Stop killing them now."
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure in Victoria they're protected. I don't think you're allowed to hunt them or anything in Victoria because I don't think the populations in Victoria are very high. But then again, I think because of the bird that they are, I actually don't think that they're naturally a Victorian bird. I think that they're more of a northern states sort of bird.
Yes. I've seen them running because I drove to Queensland. We saw them running for
terrifying.
Yeah, just like in the fucking cow paddock next to the car, just running. You're like,
they can be found in snowy areas, like up in the mountains. So they are found all over, but they're mainly a plains type of bird. I was going to say something, then you fucking kept talking, and now I fucking forgot.
Fuck.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Fuck's sake, you do this to me every week and then I forget what I'm saying. And I didn't write it down.
I hate that. That's so frustrating.
Yeah. I'm going to remember it later and then I'm just going to interrupt Bianca in her segment, which she is about to go into now. That's your topic.
Oh, but I have more things about emus. So you type in are emus, it comes up with a list of things, Google. And it says, and one of the things to choose from is, are emus bulletproof?
No, they're not. But they can take at least 10 rounds before they die.
The thing is, for it to be there, someone had to Google that. Like, clearly they were off hunting emus, which is very bad. Love the nature. And as much as we're joking, we actually do love the nature and we would never hunt anything because why?
Oh, God.
I'm just bowing down to my supreme overlord commander whose name is Bazaar and he's a 6 foot fucking 100 kilo emu. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually ran over a roadkill and cried because I hit something that someone had already hit. Anything else about emus, Bianca?
No, I was trying to jog your memory, but it clearly wasn't. Okay,
right.
People.
Steer it round, Bianca. Steer it round. I'll get the rudder.
Oh, we're a train.
I said rudder. I thought it was a boat, but anyway.
No. We're on a tangent train.
Right.
Steve's going here for some reason. Again. Ooh, there must be terrorists on the train. I'm in.
Hey, Bianca, what's your topic for tonight?
Ooh, well, my topic tonight is a dwarf tossing. So.
That is so wrong.
If you thought this lovely sunburned country couldn't get any weirder, how wrong you were.
More culturally inappropriate.
Yeah.
No, they're not a culture. They're a people.
No, but we're culturally inappropriate. So.
Yeah. All right, if we are personally, we're terrible. We try, but we don't really.
No, we don't.
I respect everyone to a certain extent.
It's just yanking
the
chat.
It's a free for all.
This coming from the person says, I hate everybody. People are cunts. I'm staying at home.
Exactly. That's my extent.
So, yes, Yes, look, Australia is the place where dwarf tossing, also called midget tossing, originated. And it was not so fucking long ago either. Yeah, early 1980s. So,
oh, wow.
Just before we were all born, this was commonplace. Yeah. So dwarf tossing is a pub attraction in which people with dwarfism wearing special padded clothing or Velcro costumes are thrown onto mattresses or at Velcro-coated walls. And participants compete to throw the person with dwarfism the farthest, which really comes down to Australians just love to bet. I'll fucking bet on anything. Two snails.
And throw shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Australians will bet on two snails climbing up a wall. Betcha, left one will get higher first. Like, we'll get to the roof.
And yabby races. So it's not like just, like, down straight lines. You just put all the yabbies in the middle and then draw a circle around the outside, and whichever yabby crosses the line first is the winner.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. Yeah, it's just anything. Just, like, sitting there. You might be fucking... might be sitting there and just like, you know, fucking missus is standing there in a clothing store looking at shit. There's another dude. Your missus in that store. Want to bet? See whose missus comes out first? Yeah, you're on.
Take that.
Yeah. It is that fucking simple. So I bet that's where this came from. See? I bet. It's just one of those things. Anyway,
someone was trying to prove who could toss a dwarf the furthest.
Well, that's it. Bullshit. Take it outside. You're on.
Bullshit.
I actually reckon it came from this saying. I don't trust you as far as I can fucking throw you. All right, mate. Do you want to try and throw me then? Yeah, I'll give it a crack. I'll bet you I can throw him further. All right. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll put $10 on that. Nice.
That's probably it. You cracked it. Oh, my God. I couldn't find a fucking thing, but I think you cracked it.
Look, mate, there's something bogan that runs through my veins, and I hear the call of the people. Yeah.
That is so true. Yeah.
Something's very bogan that runs through me.
There really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on that, like, with that, like, dwarf tossing is actually, like, it's legal and it's banned in most developed countries. I had before my computer crashed before this fucking episode. Holy shit. That was just so weird, people. I lost all my tabs. I don't know where to look for whatever the fuck I was going to say about this, but it's gone. Oh, that's right. There was a funny Canadian one. Damn it. No, it's gone.
There's always a funny Canadian one, mate. Everywhere you go.
It's a funny Canadian story about dwarf tossing. Yeah, like they've banned it too. But only in 2003. It took a while.
But we're still doing it.
Oh, no. I'll get to that. So, look, it's not. Okay. Not in Australia. It's not banned here. Okay. Laws prohibit dwarf tossing implicitly, but there are no explicit laws preventing a consenting dwarf from being tossed.
Yeah, well, you can't just throw random people into like walls or onto mattresses because that's assault. Like that's exactly. Common law assault.
Exactly, it's like when you know you don't ask for permission for sex. Yeah, same thing. You ask for consent, and everyone's all good.
If you ask for consent, dwarf says yes, you can toss him or her. Yeah.
If you go to throw him and he says no, you stop.
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, just why don't is throw it hard?
Yeah.
In fact, if you pick up the dwarf and he goes, mate, oh, I've had a second think about this and I don't think I really want to continue, you can't keep going. You have to stop. Even if you really, really want to, because old mate Frank's got $20 on you have to stop.
Yeah, and that's where you go, okay, and you put the dwarf down.
That's what consent means. Yeah. Like, why is it fucking hard? Anyway, I'm going to go off on a real big tangent in a minute. Keep going before I really derail this.
No. Look, That is dwarf tossing. That is dwarf tossing in a fucking nutshell. There is nothing else to it. The only other thing I could find was that it was a top end attraction. So it did bring a lot of people from other countries to the top end of Australia. And I'm talking about, look, he wouldn't give me specifics, but I'm guessing by, yeah, just by what I was reading, probably Darwin.
I'm going with Darwin.
Yeah. I think it was Darwin.
And
if you don't know what dwarf tossing is and you're wondering where can I get a video on dwarf tossing, there's probably stuff on YouTube, but there's actually a scene in Wolf of Wall Street. So yeah, there's actually a scene where they're doing it in the office. I don't know if that actually happened. Apparently it actually did, but
professional.
Yeah.
Put in that I would really like to be the small person that gets thrown at the wall. Just the idea of wearing a Velcro suit and then just being stuck to a Velcro.
You know we can do that, right? You can launch yourself off trampolines into the wall. We can do this on the weekend.
Yeah, it's like human fly or some shit.
Do you have Velcro?
Yes. This has been around forever.
No, do you? If I'm coming to your house over the weekend.
Oh, I don't have Velcro walls, mate. And I just repainted the room that we could have used. So, no, we're not doing that. Bianca, can I ask you a question? So, do you have to have dwarfism or is it just sufficient that you're under a certain height?
Ah, well, there is actually a technical definition for dwarfism. So, if you are under 5 foot, I think it's 4'8". Yeah, if you're under 4'8" by your 18th birthday, you have dwarfism.
So you just don't make it.
Oh, yeah, I'm 5'1". I'm fine, people. Yeah. Not a dwarf. Not a dwarf. Yeah.
Damn it. God damn it. Okay, which one of your ankles do you not need? Because we need to, like, bust you down a little bit so we can go and use you. I'm 5'3", and Sarah's not much shorter than me. So, we're out.
Just for a fun fact to end off my segment, a related practice activity, I love that it was a practice activity, is dwarf bowling. So what you do is you get the person, put them on a skateboard and haul them down towards some makeshift pins. Do that. I'll be on the skateboard. We could all do that. That'd be great. And
instead of dwarf bowling, we'll call it dipshit bowling.
Exactly. They can't make that illegal. Man. The dipshits won't know that they have to be the fucking bowling ball. They don't care.
I'm such a dipshit. I thought we were going to be the bowling balls. So
I was on the same page as Amy then. We were going to be the bowling balls.
Never outlaw it. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Even after we break all our things.
Yeah.
We're bound to.
We'll be doing it at my house, no doubt. So it will be breaking my shit. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yes. So, I don't have any shout outs this week.
Neither do I. Actually, I've been pretty slack when it comes to doing some stuff. So,
I'm always slack when it comes to doing.
I would like to plug Bianca's thing that we are doing this weekend. So you will hear this episode a week after we've done it. Yes. My two co-hosts are descending on my house tomorrow night to turn off the lights at 8:30 and light candles. So I'm going to be homeless as of about 10:30 tomorrow night because they would have burnt my house down.
Yeah, we're going to light the candles at 8:30. So, house is definitely gone by 10:30.
It's gone by 10:30.
I'm standing there just seeing ashes to ashes because faith no more.
Yeah. So I'm going to be homeless. By the time you listen to this, I will be homeless. We are getting on board for Earth Hour. Get on board. So basically the very simple premise that it is that you're turning your lights off for 1 hour and everybody is doing it at about the same time in your time. What is it, time code?
So it's 8:30 your local time, wherever you are in the world. You wait till 8:30 and then you turn it back on at 9:30. And it's joined by 190 countries.
Nice. Amazing.
Yeah.
We are very honoured to be a part of this and we thoroughly encourage everybody to do it, even though you will be hearing this a week after it's actually happened. But it's fine. It's fine.
Because I do it I can't say I do it every year. I'm not that strict to myself, but I think, yeah, I'll be more proactive, especially with the podcast. I'll stick to it and do it. If we're doing I'll do it Earth Hour every year. But, yeah, I've done it on and off for the last, I don't know, how old's my daughter, 19? So, yeah, on and off in the last 19 years. It just, yeah. Yeah, do my bit for a bit of CO2 and, you know, make little changes. I mean, this year I really want to change single-use items. That's my goal. Less single-use items. So, yeah, fingers crossed I can minimise my bit on the earth. So,
good on you, mate. I think as a group we should probably just move directly onto a vineyard, so then the wine doesn't need to be bottled before it comes to us, and that would save so much glass for the environment.
Absolutely.
You just drink we just drink it direct from the barrel, so
yeah. I feel like that's the plan.
Oh, God.
Well, I've had so much fun researching this topic, as I can tell you, so did Amy and Bianca, as we have also done with even last week's topic and the topic before that. However, we would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. So if you have any topic you would like to hear us discuss, or, you know, pretend to discuss or argue about, as we do also frequently.
It's getting worse too.
Some people don't listen to me when I tell them things.
Sometimes Amy doesn't fucking listen when Sarah tells her things either. Yeah.
Thank you, Bianca. So if you do have anything, email us at fridaynightwinefire@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr.
Yep.
All the places.
All the dark spaces.
Yeah.
And maybe
send out a back signal.
Yes. And there'll be some more coming soon.
Yeah. So, to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our complete rubbish. And we really sincerely hope you have found it entertaining and are not using any of these so-called facts discussed in this recording to make any important life decisions in your life.
My facts were fair income, mate. Yeah. Just letting you know, my bonds of facts were fair income.
Yeah, they were fair income, but they were very limited. Do a little bit of research, people. There are many, many more slang Australian terms.
Yeah.
Many.
There was one. Sorry, just one more. Maccas. That's Australian.
We changed the signs on our McDonald's to read Maccas.
Yeah, they just had to fucking run with it just because that's how we are.
Yeah.
We're like the emus in the emu world. There's too many to stop us, okay? We've got too many behind us now. This is what's happening. Just get on board.
Just assimilate people.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way. All right. So, again, thank you for listening. Yeah. Good night.
Yeah.
Bye.